We play for bravery. We play for big hearts in tiny bodies. We play for the fighter within. We play for life reclaimed, disease in remission, stories rewritten. We're Children's Hospital of Richmond at VCU, and we nurture the champion in every child. We fight the forces that threaten them, and we play to win. Learn how at chrichmond.org.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Oh, sin, sin, sin. Man, it's expensive, isn't it?
Shoo.
I mean, it's the most expensive thing in the world in many ways. You crush yourself, your family, your friends, your future. Oh, my gosh. William Buchenstein is with us, pastor of Emmanuel Fellowship Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He wrote a terrific piece about sin is expensive. Here are six costs. Pastor, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy to have you. Now, I'm wondering why you've been contemplating the 17th century canons of Dort.
Oh, come on. We all are, aren't we?
You're right. I don't like to admit it, but yes.
That's right. So I pastor a church in Kalamazoo that's part of a denomination that subscribes to three historic confessions of faith, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort. So we see these documents as being, of course, subservient to Scripture, but helpful guides in understanding the Word of God and the basics of the Christian faith. So we teach through them, so I work through them periodically with the congregation. And so, I actually use them as a guide for preaching the Word of God a couple of years back, and that's when we really concentrated in on this particular article on the effects of sin.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, it's good to think of it in these terms, that sin is expensive, because, of course, as we're sinning, we're not necessarily thinking of the cost, but you go through six things, Bill. By our sin, we greatly offend God. That's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, a child of God doesn't want that. And I first of all, appreciate that God shows himself in the Scriptures as being able to be offended. He actually cares. He cares about our walk with him. And so we ought to care about his caring. And so that, you know, just recognizing that God is not a stoic, he's not disinterested in us, that should weigh on us when we are contemplating sin, and certainly when we commit sin.
Mm. What about deserving of the sentence of death?
Yeah, so that's an interesting phrase. So what I did in this article is really just draw deeper from some of the phrases used in the Canons of Dort. And so this was one sentence I was really struck by. We become more aware that sin is deadly. So we have these strong phrases, for example, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And when we actually give into temptation, we actually become aware of that verdict. It's like being in a courtroom and hearing, as, for example, God says in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the soul who sins shall die. And there's this sense in which we realize, I am worthy of that death sentence that Adam and Eve first came under in the fall. So it's a sobering thought that we deserve the sentence of death, and we prove that when we actually commit sin.
That's good. Thank goodness for grace. Okay, Bill, absolutely. So what about, I don't think as I sin, I truly am not thinking about the Holy Spirit, but you're saying by our sin, or the Council of Dort says, by our sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a phrase that's drawn out of Scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 30. And as I mentioned in the article, when the Apostle Paul talks about grieving the Spirit, some of the sins he mentions, we wouldn't even think about them as terrible sins, transgressions of speech and emotions like bitterness, anger, slander. But the Spirit is more sensitive to sin than we are. And so even when we don't feel as grieved as we ought to by our own sin, we should be aware that the Spirit, who is a Holy Spirit, a Spirit who is separate from even the ordinary things, is very grieved by our sin, and we shouldn't want that.
What about I had not thought of this before, the idea that when we sin, we suspend the exercise of faith. So you can't do both at the same time.
Yeah, that's a really carefully worded phrase that the theologians from Dort use here, because they're not saying that when we sin, we cancel our faith. You know, that faith is the kind of thing that, you know, can be real in a person and then literally disappear. They're talking about the exercise of faith, the practice of faith, and we can actually suspend that. And so I give the illustration of Jesus talking to the disciples when they are terrified in that storm in the boat. And Jesus says to them in Mark chapter 4, have you still no faith? Now, he's not saying, you know, have you become literal unbelievers? But he's saying, you know, have you stopped practicing faith? And so sin can make faith impotent. It can make us sense that God isn't for us, that he is opposed to us, that we have no future, no hope. And so we become sort of, you might almost say, like functional disbelievers when we're committed to sin. And that's a really terrible place to be. It's not a place of comfort or healthiness. And so we shouldn't want that either.
So let's talk about severely wounding the conscience. You know, this is something that I often think I do regularly and had not put a label to it until I read this article.
Hmm. Yeah, the conscience is a wonderful gift of God. It helps us to sense what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and then also retrospectively helps us to sense what we shouldn't have done or what we should do. And the conscience is a gift that we need to steward and take good care of. And the fact that sin can severely wound the conscience means a couple of things. It means that we can become so overwhelmed as our conscience convicts us, as it holds us guilty, that we can be brought so low that we lose peace. And so that's a terrible. We felt that, I'm sure, as children of God, when we sin, we say, "Ah, oh, this is just a miserable place to be." You know, we aren't happy. We're not free. We're not comfortable when we sin. But we can also dull our conscience. We can actually be so casual about sin and so unresponsive to the pricking of our conscience by the Spirit that it actually can become less sensitive and more dull. Mm-hmm. So we want to be careful to just like you might say, sort of like the muscles in our bodies or the joints in our bodies. We want to keep them functioning properly, and by ignoring, by sinning and continuing to sin, we actually become less able to function spiritually.
William Bookestein with us, pastor of Emmanuel Fellowship Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the author of several books, including The Future of Everything, Essential Truths About the End Times. All right, so the last cost that you've written here after your study of the Canons of Dort, I had to go back and look at it, William, because I couldn't remember what it was called. Talk about losing the awareness of grace for perhaps a time or a longer time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so first of all, grace is so vital for us, isn't it? As Christians, we know that we are not worthy of God's friendship. He lavishes his love upon us against our deserving. But when we sin, it can become possible to no longer see God as a gracious God. We can view him as stern and hostile to us. We can feel that we are so unworthy of God's kindness that he couldn't possibly love us. And we know that our worthiness is not what makes God love us, but we kind of become disoriented when we sin, and we're not functioning as theologically, we're not even functioning right. And so we think, well, I'm so far off the path of God's grace that he surely doesn't love me. And that's a terrible place to be. And, you know, just I mentioned this sense of that Jonah had after sinning. He says in chapter 3, verse 4, I've been cast out of your sight. And you get the sense that he had wanted to flee from God, but he's now panicked by his decision. And we can feel that way, too. And And so these warnings can be so helpful for us if we're able and willing to process them, not only in the moment of sin, but meditatively, even in our, even like right now, when we're not contemplating sin, so we can brace ourselves in the moment of temptation.
Mm-hmm. And we recognize, of course, in closing, I shouldn't say of course, because it's a reality we need to remind one another of all the time, that regardless of our sin, if we come in the name of Jesus, there is always forgiveness and newness of life for every person who believes. And William, we are out of time. That's William Bookestein, pastor of Emmanuel Fellowship Church, Kalamazoo, Michigan. William, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. God bless you both.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.